Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. This is edition number 39. We are in season two of the Morning Devotional, and yesterday we considered the issue of giving as Jesus illustrates what true righteousness looks like, giving to the glory of God, not for the praise or not being motivated for the praise of men. Jesus now moves to another way of another illustration of true righteousness, and that is on the subject of prayer, particularly private prayer, as Jesus will highlight it for us in these next two verses, verses 5 and 6 of verses 5 through 8 of chapter 6. But let's pray together first, and then we'll consider these matters briefly this morning. Father, as we come to your word again today, we would pray that you'd help us, that you'd give us strength and grace, that you'd grant us your spirit, that we might understand these very important truths that are contained within your word. We ask, Lord, that you would be with your people, that they might hear that which your word says, and that they might drink deeply from the well that will never run dry. Help us now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, I'm going to read through verse 8. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so yesterday we dealt with the question of service and giving. Today we're going to deal with the question of prayer. Particularly here, we're talking about prayer that is done rightly. Prayer that is true prayer, not a phony, as Jesus again references, like that appears and comes off like the hypocrites. We've met those people, I think. We've seen those people in the church without trying to ascribe motive to other individuals. That is very difficult for us to do, if not near impossible. But there are some that I'm sure we have taken note of. Perhaps you have done it. I'm sure I have, where the issue of prayer, especially public prayer, becomes a performance. And Jesus would warn us, again, as he warned about giving in such a way as to be praised by men. He would warn us not to pray in this way, to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. There's that underscore, the underlying element here, that hypocrisy is rooted in the motivation for why you're doing whatever it is you are doing, whether it's giving or serving or whether it's even praying. Now, prayer, of course, is a godly activity. It's the righteous will indeed pray. The godly will indeed pray. But it's what's driving it. It's the motivation that stands behind it. And Jesus would warn us, he would tell us not to do it in such a way that others may see what we're doing and give us the applause, but to do it instead in secret. Now, here, Jesus is not saying that public prayer or corporate prayer is forbidden. He's certainly not doing that. He prayed publicly, people saw and took note of the fact that he prayed. We have other examples in the book of Acts of the people of God gathering to pray. What he is getting at here is that we don't pray in such a way as to draw attention to ourselves. And so he would tell us to go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so again, it's the object of our prayer, it's the triune God, it's the motivation of our prayer to bring glory and honor to him, not to strengthen our own ego or boost our own ego, but it is in fact to give honor and glory to Christ. He goes on in verse 7, and he warns about these empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Now, one commentator notes that this prohibition does not contradict the principle that one should keep asking for God what is believed to be his will. And when we look at Luke chapter 18, we take note of how Jesus teaches us to be persistent in prayer, to keep asking, to keep pleading, to keep asking of God the things that we so desperately need. And that's highlighted in the parable of the persistent widow. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." And so here Jesus is highlighting the whole issue of persistence in prayer. And oftentimes in our prayer lives, we give up too easily. We give up too soon. We don't continue to labor, to beg, to plead with our Father in heaven who loves us and cares for us for the things that we stand in need of. Jesus is not here prohibiting persistence in prayer. He's prohibiting vain, empty prayers, prayers that have no effect. They're empty. They have nothing internally. There's no true heart issue engaging the prayer. It's just rote repetition. And there's always a danger, isn't there, especially in corporate worship, by which we can fall into the trap of just going through the motion, going through the motions of prayer. Now, here at Providence, we recite the Lord's Prayer each week. I don't think that's absolutely necessary, but we do. And the danger, of course, is that we just read the words on the page of the bulletin or we recite it from our memory, but we're not considering the things that we're saying in worship to God himself. It's vain. It's empty. It's tantamount to violating the third commandment. Jesus would warn us about these things. Because we have this sense in which the more we repeat something, even if it's not with the right motivation, not with the right heart attitude, with the right object of our prayer, which is God himself, we think that we'll be heard because we keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. When I was raising my children, sometimes they would pester me. They would ask me a question and I would give them an answer. If the answer was no, of course, about something they wanted to do, they would then start to pester. Now, that wasn't code when I said no. It wasn't code for them to keep bothering me. But our Father in heaven, he doesn't respond to us in that way. He wants us to plead with him. He wants us to argue with him. He wants us to set our needs before him in a way that is not empty or vain or worthless, but in a way that is helpful and brings honor and glory to God. Jesus says, don't be like these people when you pray. Knowing, remembering, reminding ourselves that our Father in heaven knows our needs long before we ever ask for them. It doesn't change the fact that he wants us to set our cares before him because he cares for us, but he knows what our needs are. And so as we engage in prayer, whether it's privately in secret or corporately, publicly in prayer meetings in the church or whether in worship, let's remember who the object of our prayer always needs to be. And that is our Father in heaven who knows our needs, who has told us that he cares for us and wants to hear from his children as we set these things before him. Well, I trust these times are a benefit for you. We're going to continue looking at this subject of prayer in the next few days using the Westminster Shorter Catechism to help us through the Lord's Prayer as Jesus is about to teach his disciples about prayer. But I trust these times are edifying. And if you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The email, the information is there on the screen before you. So may God bless you today as you go to serve and go to serve him and bring honor and glory to our Father in heaven.